This morning I want to talk to you about being the church that God called us to be. And trust you'll enjoy this morning and be encouraged by this. Romans 12, and we're going to look at 6 to 18. Romans 12, 6 to 18. This should be on the screen as well. But if not, just check your Bibles or pull out your Bible on your phone and follow along. So Romans 12, 6 to 18. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other and don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Father, we thank you for your word today and just pray it'd be a blessing to each and every heart in this place and to those who are listening online. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I just want to share with you about being the church God wants us to be. It's really important to note that what God is wanting for our church and what God is wanting for our lives and even what God is wanting in our area. You know, this is something as a church and as a board that we have been pursuing. We want what God wants. And we continue to pray and continue to try to align ourselves with the will of God. And our prayer is God's will be done. And that's important to us. It's something we strive for as pastors, as board, as worship leaders, volunteers, and as people of this church. And we do have a good church and good people here, if you don't know that already. And I am thankful for that. I am thankful for our church. And interesting, last week as we had our speaker, Jeeva Sam, really got me thinking about some of the good things that are happening right here in our own church and what other people are saying about our church. And it's good to be reminded of that. You know, this is a welcoming church and people do feel at home here. And this is a church of hospitality, a church where there is healing emotionally, spiritually, physically. It is a church of the Word of God that follows what the Bible says. We are a church where there's an atmosphere of peace and of welcome. And it's a church where God is being experienced and encountered. You know, these are all comments made by people who have come to this church, whether it was for a service, a meeting, a training session, or simply they just happen to be delivering something or just happen to be driving by and came in. And these are some of the words that people are using over you. And I think that's good to hear every once in a while that people are speaking good of you. Sometimes all we hear is the bad news part. Well, there are people that are speaking good things. And, you know, personally, I do enjoy being in this church. I love working here. There's a great presence of God that is felt and experienced here. And you could ask every staff member, they'll tell you the same thing. And thinking of Sue as she started working here and cleaning. And she often stops me and says, you know, Pastor, there's just a wonderful atmosphere that's in this place. And I said, yes. I said, that's why we like working here and being here. And there's a beautiful atmosphere here. Now, I'm not trying to declare here this morning that we are some perfect church. We're not a perfect church, but we are working to make our church a better place. And again, I want to say thank you to all of you Because you're part of that, and you're part of that church. You're part of what is causing people to make comments, good comments, about the church. Now, last Sunday, we had some visitors here in our church, and just kind of interesting hearing back from them how they felt that God's presence was here and how they felt that, you know, your people are really welcoming. And they just said, you know, just want to say that we appreciate that. We're thankful for that. And that's something we want to continue in. That's something we want to improve in and to make people feel that this is a good place to be. Now, during these camp meetings at Moose Lake, I was quite surprised by, I received a lot of prophetic words spoken over us and spoken, including our church, while I was there, and actually four words. And kind of had an interesting occasion with this little 10-year-old as well, and they are Polish, and so her dad's English was, I was having a hard time understanding what he was trying to say, and this little girl, 10, finally she blurted it all out of what she was trying to say, and just talking about an angelic host that she had seen, and that even seeing that over me and around me, and kind of a cool thing when you have people that you don't know, never talked to before, and they do speak those kinds of words over you. And kind of add to that, just in the presence of the Lord, enjoying that, I really did feel a healing touch in my neck as well. And I've been getting lots of headaches from my neck. And I really felt the healing touch during that time at camp. And you might say, well, kind of on a side note, how do you get in an atmosphere like that? How do you get in an atmosphere where the Lord can speak to you, whether it's through other people, whether you hear him yourself, whether you need healing or whatever need you might have, that you would feel that God would want to minister to you. And one of the things I really felt important this year as I was going to camp was to go with the intention to receive. And I did have to end up doing some MC for the first half of the camp Mark Brisbois, he was supposed to be doing it all, but he couldn't be there the first half, so they asked me if I would just MC the services. But I just wanted to keep the focus on receiving and serving. And it was kind of funny because I just felt the Lord just say to me, say, now, I want you to put aside your opinions. I want to put aside your thoughts. Actually, just keep your mouth quiet and just go and just be ready to receive. And, you know, I tried to do that to the best of my abilities a few times. I had to, you know, kind of talk to myself, get back that focus. And as I did that, I was blessed. And friend, if you would concentrate on that, even when you come to church or anywhere else where you're going and you're looking to receive, concentrate on receiving. I'm here to receive. I'm not here to give my opinion on this group, that group, but how this group did, that group did, or whether it was good, whether it's bad. I'm here to receive from the Lord. I'm here to worship him and to receive from him. And Bible camp certainly can be great places to receive, because there's another thing that happens there, is that people come there because they're hungry. You don't take vacation and go to a Bible camp unless you're looking to receive something from God. And so anywhere where you're around hungry people, you're going to receive. To me, that's why church can be important as well, because people that come to church, it's a nice day, it's a nice weekend. There could have been many places you could have went to today, but you're here today. Why? Because, well, you're hungry for more. You want to receive something from God. And that's what we want to see happen in this place. There'd be an atmosphere in this place for people to receive and to be touched by God. And I want to encourage you, if you want to receive, you got to shut yourself in. And, you know, don't be looking at all the distractions that are all around you. Start just to enter in. I guarantee you, you will receive. And I can tell you, there is a good atmosphere in this church, and people do notice that. And what really speaks to me is not when Christians tell me that, but when the world tells me that. And that has happened numbers of times here in the church, where people that don't go to our church just happen to be in the church. Maybe they're in here for some meetings, or maybe they were delivering parcels, or they were just coming in and asking for directions. And off that comment will come about, my, it's peaceful in here. They just stop. And it's just like, it just hits them. And they're just going to pause. There's peace in here. Or they start saying, this place is a welcoming place. They have no idea. But that's what God can do. And we want more of that. We want more of that. You know, we want to be a welcoming church. We want to be a church where people encounter God, where people find faith in Jesus. We want to be a church that says biblical. We want to see signs, wonders, healings, and miracles. And I know one of the revivalists was talking about that we were going to see more of that. And I said, yes, we definitely need to see more of that, more miracles, more healings, and that to take place right here in this church. And so just want to keep that focus, that let's keep working together. Let's keep focusing on being the church that God has called us to be. And this morning I just thought to maybe highlight some of those things that are important to God. I'm not going to mention all of the ones, but just mention a few highlight ones that we might continue to be that church God wants us to be. And the first area that kind of helps us be the church God wants us to be is keep serving. Keep serving. You know, we all have different gifts and abilities, and we're to use those gifts to serve one another. Our gifts are not just meant for ourselves. Our gifts are meant to be used and to look for opportunities for those gifts to be used. But you are needed in this church. Whether you feel that or not, you are needed in this place because all gifts are needed. Romans 12:7 says, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. And continues on along with that theme that if you have a gift, use that gift. You are needed in the body of Christ. You know, gifts and abilities that we have are to be used in the church and outside the church. We're to serve in whatever area that we may be gifted in or can serve in, and that the local church might be everything that it should be. You know, if serving's your gift, serve well. If it's teaching, teach well. Whatever your gift, don't hide the gift. Use a gift. Because everybody is needed in the local church, and we all need to use our gifts, and we all need to work hard at it. Romans 12:11 says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. You know, sometimes serving is hard work. And you saw that at camp. How people work so hard. We have some visitors here from camp, and they were all people that really worked hard during that week of camp, seeing them in the kitchen and seeing them outside the kitchen doing various things, and that was a blessing. They just didn't come to receive. They also came to serve, and I'm telling you, that's where the blessings are. And so as we keep that focus and doing it again for God, that needs to be our motivation, that we do it for the Lord. It's about the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we get all caught up that, you know, well, gee, does people appreciate me or not? And you know what? It happens all the time. It just takes place that sometimes you forget to say thank you. Sometimes it can seem that way, that no one's appreciating you because no one came up to say you did that day, like, hey, you're doing an awesome job. Like, hey, do we ever appreciate you? You know, we don't say that every Sunday. Man, we really appreciate our worship team. Lots of Sundays they don't hear nothing. But you know what? We do appreciate them. But we're doing it for the Lord. That's who we're doing it for. And when we do it for the Lord, the Bible says you should be enthusiastic about serving God. And, you know, sometimes that joy of serving, you know, kind of gets squashed, or, you know, sometimes takes a hit. And we need to write, look, I'm doing it for the Lord. And the Lord says, I need to be doing this with joy. And so sometimes, you know, in life, sometimes it gets a bit difficult, we need to be asking God, I want my joy back. I want my joy back in serving you, because, Lord, I do enjoy serving you. I find it fun to serve you. And so it's a good thing. And so keep praying that, Lord, help me to keep the joy in my serving. Galatians 6:9 also gives us another powerful truth about serving. It says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. You know, I think there's a lot of people that have missed that big harvest of blessing because they got discouraged, they got down, which can be fairly normal. that, you know, those things can happen to us, and we step out of our gifting and we walk away from it, and we don't get to see what was about to take place or what was about to happen. And I know in this church there's a numbers of you have served so well, and we bless you for that. And it is about the kingdom. It's not about the pastor's church. It's not the pastor's church. It's God's church. So when we do things, you're not doing it for me. Thank you if you are, but we're doing it for him. We're doing it for his kingdom, that his kingdom would prosper in this area. And so there are blessings when we serve. Serve one another. And I can tell you that, and probably you can as well, when were your happiest times in church? When you were serving. It just seems to be that way. When you do something, it just brings a happiness to you. So I want to encourage you, hang in there. There are more blessings to come. Keep serving. Your harvest will come. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So always remember that. Even if you don't feel appreciated, maybe you feel that, I can't serve anymore. Remember, your labor is never in vain in the Lord. So keep that thought. Second area we need to continue in being the church God has called us to be is keep encouraging. Keep lifting and building one another up. You know, there's always people in every service, every church, and all of society that is out there, they're in need of some encouraging words and action. And as we look at our society, especially today, man, there's a lot of people that are down. There's a lot of people that are discouraged. They need to hear some encouraging words. And the Bible says, as a church, we're to be encouragers. We really are. Romans 12:8. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. You know, continue to pay attention to the people that are around you. Pay attention to the leading of the Holy Spirit, that he might use your gift to encourage somebody that is in great need of an encouraging word. And don't just do that on a Sunday, but do that throughout the week, that, Lord, lay some heart, lay some soul on my mind that I might encourage somebody this week. Somebody that's in need of encouraging. Or, Lord, guide my steps that I might encounter somebody in my workplace or when I'm out in society, that I might bump into somebody and have a word of encouragement for them. You know, it might be just something like some kind words, or maybe teaching them some truth, maybe just sympathizing with them, you know, grieving with them, mourning with them, blessing them with a gift, or maybe even giving them a financial blessing, maybe extending hospitality to them. You know, that's a big area right now that is needed in our society. After COVID, people have gotten away from hospitality, and there's a lot of people right now that are hungry for hospitality, that somebody would care about them and say, hey, why don't you get together for a coffee? Why don't you come over to my house tonight? And just that something, open up our homes again to the people around us, because you know what? They're in need of that. And that was one of the words that Jeeva spoke about there, that he felt that this was a place of hospitality. And so we want to do that. We want to be hospitable, not just to people here, but people around us, because again, that is a wonderful, wonderful ministry and gifting to encourage others. And so let's pray that. And then, you know, why not pray that maybe you got a prophetic word? You know, sometimes people get a little scary if you give a prophetic word. God can use you just as much as you can use the speaker. And why not say, God, give me a prophetic word for somebody today. God, give me a word of knowledge for somebody today. Lord, give me that word of encouragement for somebody today that's going to be in my path, that I might bring encouragement to them. Because God wants to use who? He wants to use people. And like, let's say, here we are, Lord, use us, because we want to be those encouragers. And you know, even during church time, you know, when you come early, great opportunity to talk to some people. Great opportunity as well that maybe God wants to speak something through you, that you could be speaking to somebody. Or even after church, you know, you don't all have to like zip and be gone and out of here. you're welcome to stay around and chat and talk with people. And you know, I've often found that some pretty neat things happen after church. And I just kind of enjoy that time, because you sometimes I don't get always get to the back, but there's things that happen throughout the church that take place that, you know, sometimes it really touches your heart, where you see God doing things and nobody's there instructing anybody. They're just doing it, and God's ministering to people through that. And friends, lots of opportunities that we can be used of God. Just don't pray that prayer. You know, pastors have enough pressure trying to remember everything. You know, if the pastor does this, Lord, then I will do this. Don't do that to me there. I'm already stressed out enough. Just say, God, if there's somebody here today, would you just help me to put my gaze on them, or that I would just bump into them, and that then I would know that's the word for that individual or that person. And God wants to use all of us. And, you know, ministry continues not just in church. Never think that your gift is just for church use. The gifts really aren't all about church use. The gifts are really about using it to reach our world. And so I encourage you, get out there and be an encourager to people out there, because lots of people are in need of encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, so encourage each other, build each other up, just as you're already doing. And I've seen that here in our church. We got a lot of encouragers here. I see that. I recognize that. I notice when people are talking and sharing with one another, praying for one another, hugging one another, there's various things that go on sometimes in the service that most people don't catch or see. And that's okay. We're not doing it so people can see. We're doing it because we want to be used to be an encourager. And so I just want to say, keep encouraging people. Keep building one another up, because we need it. We are needed. And really, in the times that we're living in right now, we need it more than ever. Now, there's so many people fighting discouragement and depression, and so many people that are down. We really need to be encouragers out there. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now the day of his return is drawing near. And you know, as we read the Bible and read some of the things that will take place, you look at Israel, and Israel is always a place to be looking at when it comes to end times. And you know, we see there could be a full-blown war in the Middle East and all those things that could possibly take place. And the Bible says, well, when you see stuff like that happening, start getting out there encouraging one another. Start building one another up. Start lifting one another up. And yes, gather together. That's important, because the gathering place should also be a place where we encourage one another. So we need to keep making church, this gathering place of God's people, a place of encouragement, and to look for opportunities to encourage one another. It's not just the pastor's job or the speaker's job. It's everybody's job. It's everybody's job. So let's keep encouraging one another. Then thirdly, in being the church God wants us to be, we need to keep being kind and extending kindness to one another. Romans 12:8 says, if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. You know, sometimes this world can be cruel. Sometimes we can find life hard. Sometimes we can find ourselves on the receiving end of some, maybe some very harsh words or action. And so when we come to church, having some words of kindness is greatly appreciated. And it should be a place where we find words of kindness, not words of condemnation, but words of kindness, and where it's exercised and when it's given. Ephesians 4:32 says, instead be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And so, you know, we don't need to be punishing people more than they've already been punished on the outside for some wrongs that they have done. And rather, we need to extend some understanding and kindness so they can be encouraged to press into the faith or even return to the faith. And again, I've seen you do that. I've seen some people that have come to this church that as they shared some stories, that the response could have been, oh my goodness, I can't believe you did that, and pull away. And yet I've watched people share stories that are quite amazing stories, terrible things, And I've watched you hug them. I've watched you love on them. And I've watched you prayed over them. And I tell you, I was more blessed probably than they were, because I was observing that you were doing that, not even realizing that I was near you and you weren't waiting to say, "Pastor, come over here, over here." No, you just did it yourself. And you can do that. We want to continue to see that, showing kindness. And may the Lord give us wisdom in expressing kindness to one another with the right words, with the right actions. And I know many of you already do that. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. You know, because there's going to be many people that are going to come to this church. And you know what? They're going to come in with messed up lives. Lives that would shock you of things that they have done. But let me tell you something. This is the place to come, because God wants to touch them. God wants to forgive them. God wants to heal them. God wants to turn their life around. And so we need to be extending that kindness and understanding and even forgiveness to them. You know, Colossians 3, 12, 13 says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. And remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." I do see this kindness in this church. I really do. And we just need to keep doing it. Keep doing it. Because I really do believe God is going to be bringing in way more people, and they're going to be in need of some kindness. Going to be in need of being tender-hearted towards them, forgiving, loving on them. And that's something we want to do. We want to make this church a place of kindness. Then number four, which is probably the biggest and most important area in being the church God wants us to be, is keep loving one another. See, love is to be supreme from all of us. It's so important that we might be a loving church. Romans 12, 9, 10 says, "Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, love each other with genuine affection." You know, the Bible tells us that our love for one another is supposed to be a testimony that when the world looks at us, they would say, "That's Christianity," because they see us loving one another. And the Bible says we're actually to love one another as brothers and sisters, as family. You know, years ago when I was brought up in the church, everyone used to call you, you know, brother or sister. Brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so was kind of the terminology they used to use. We don't use that anymore. But it was portraying something that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be family. We're supposed to be people that love one another. There's a reason why we have family in our church name, because we want to be that. We want to be a family. We want to draw support from one another, love on one another, care for one another. And that's something that we want to be. So love is something that's very important in every church. And if we do not have love, the Bible says, you got nothing. You know, you can have all the spiritual gifts and you can be Mr. Holy or Mrs. Holy and all those kinds of things. But if you don't have love, you got nothing. No one's going to listen to you. They're just going to discard whatever you say or whatever you do. And you know, and as we look in our world, we see that, you know, through the church, sadly, there's been times when the church has misrepresented the truth of the love. And there's a lot of people out there in our world today that are scared of the church or don't want anything to do with the church, because the form of love they saw was not the love that we're supposed to show. And so God is calling us as a church to be the church that truly loves. Listen to what it says here in Colossians 3:14. It says, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony." 1 Peter 4:8. "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins." And so again, so very, very important here, saying to us here, above all, most important of all, we are to love one another. Now, can that be hard at times? Yes, stuff sometimes happens, and it can be difficult, and it can be hard. Again, what do? Then we come back to the Lord and say, Lord, restore my love. I want my love back. And you know, even when we read in the book of Revelations where it talks about what was the problem that God was dealing with in the church, you've lost the first love. So Lord, get us back to that place where we love the Lord and where we love one another. And I can tell you, friends, that there are people here today, people who will be coming to join us, that they're looking for true love to be exemplified. You know, they've seen the faults, or they've been hurt in church, or they've gone through a bad experience with other Christians, and they're looking for a place that's going to show them love. It's going to treat them with grace, treat them with understanding, treat them with forgiveness, and where we accept one another with open arms. And I can tell you, you're doing a good job. I see that in you. I observe that taking place sometimes before church, probably more times after church, where I just see that taking place. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be more and more people that are going to be coming in that are going to need some love. They need to experience real love. And that's what the church is supposed to be. It's supposed to display a true love for one another. So let us keep loving one another. Fifthly, in being a church God has called us to be, we need to keep honoring one another. Be respectful of one another. Do and say things that are honoring towards one another. Romans 12, 10 and 17 says, love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Goes on to say in 17, do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Take delight. Enjoy this opportunity to honor others and to bless one another in word or in deed. And, you know, and as we relate with other people, you know, as we respond to other people, I think we need to be looking back at ourselves and say, did I do that in an honoring way? Because, you know, sometimes our flesh gets in there. And, you know, to be honest, and sometimes what we say or do may not be all that honoring. And so it's good to kind of come back to ourselves and say, have I been acting or have I been speaking in an honorable way? Because we want to respect one another. We want to esteem one another. We want to lift one another up, not tear one another down. And it's what we're supposed to be doing as a church. And so we should be really, you know, again, examining ourselves, looking, checking ourselves, to see if our conversations, to see if our actions are really honoring. And if they're not honoring, then let's stop that and get back to what is true and what God desires. You know, the Bible says, honor our parents, honor your father and your mother. It says, the Bible says, honor one another. It says we are to honor our marriages. We're to honor people in authority. We're to honor people that are and spiritual leadership positions. So honor really should be in every aspect of our lives. Romans 13, 7 says, give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those in authority. That sometimes can be a little bit difficult, but the God is calling us that as a church, that's what we're to be. We're to be people who honor others. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13 talks about the same kind of things. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. And so again, we're to honor all people. And even in the church, we're to honor one another. Honor the leaders. Honor the people that are doing work in your churches, that, you know, that let them know that, hey, appreciate you, or hey, that was good today, enjoyed your ministry today. But honor people, lift them up, and that's what we're called to be, staying respectful of one another, esteeming others above ourselves. Keep being honorable. Then lastly, this morning, and being the church God wants us to be, need to work at keeping the harmony and the unity in the church and with one another. This is a very important thing. Romans 12, 16, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. You know, one of the biggest threats to the effectiveness of the church is in the area of harmony. One does not want to go down the path where we start arguing over things and think, well, I know better than so-and-so, and we just go down there with all of our so-called good opinions. And, you know, there's been a lot of churches destroyed when people partner with disunity. And it's a real dangerous place to go, where because the result of that is maybe it won't affect you, but there's always people that affect it that walk away from God. And we see these, and then even sometimes in bad cases, you'll even see a church close down. And so we need to watch ourselves that let's keep the harmony. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. You know, we need to really get back to that place. Let's work together. You know, of course we have different opinions. Of course we have different ways we may do things. Of course those things. But we need to remind ourselves, let's come together, work together, that we might see the work of God prosper and go ahead in our church, in our area, or wherever we might be. And so that's where we need to work at. You know, just come together, work together, get over ourselves. Romans 14:19 says, let us aim for harmony. That needs to be our aim when we come together with fellow Christian believers. You know what? Aim for harmony. Just aim for harmony and try to build each other up, it says. So again, you know, build one another up. Strive for unity because, you know, you might not think of that, but unity is the atmosphere where God starts to move and do great things. And a good case in point of that is Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. And it kind of describes what difference does unity make in the church. Well, listen to what it says. It says, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured out over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and under the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Like you just, if you take that verse apart, we're not going to go through all the details of that, but what does it do? It brings a pleasant atmosphere. That's what harmony does. Harmony brings anointing. And we pray that anointing would just begin to flow greater and greater and stronger. Harmony brings refreshing. Want to be refreshed? Harmony does that. Harmony brings the blessing of God. So it's obviously quite important. And you know what? We are as a church. We are doing pretty good in this area as well. And we just want to continue to do that, that we work together, that we promote harmony among us, that we might see the work of God prosper, that we might see the work of God prosper in our area. So let's keep the harmony, keep the unity, keep the peace of God, and that's how we'll do it. So this morning, just wanted to encourage you today, you know what? You're a good church. We have a good church here. And we are working to make it a better church. I don't want to try to come across that we're some perfect church, but we are trying to be a better church. We really are. And we want to keep working and examining ourselves to make sure that we don't give the devil a foothold, because when he gets a foothold, he really makes a mess. And so we want to keep our eyes on Jesus. We want to keep focusing on Jesus. We want to keep focusing on serving, encouraging, being kind, loving, honoring, harmony. We want to keep all those things in mind that we might experience and see all that God would have for us. I really believe there are greater things for this church. And for me, it was very encouraging at camp just to have a lot of these prophetic words from people I've never met before, speaking over us and speaking over our church. And, you know, kind of gives you some fresh vision for, you know, things that have been spoken over our church that sometimes you want to ask, gee, I wonder if that's going to happen now, or I wonder if this is going to take place. And you know what? God still has us on his mind. And God still has some good things that he has in store.